Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Sometimes it seems as if no one wants to be restored. However, church, everyone wants to be restored. In 6 days, our reach team will hit the streets of San Antonio, and no doubt they will come into contact with people that have drug addictions, alcohol, gambling addictions, have lifestyle addictions that have torn apart their families. And it's very easy for us to look down on them and say, well, they chose that life. Well, they did choose that life, but I'm here to tell you there's no one that wants to break that cycle more than they do. And they cannot break that cycle through 10 steps or 12 steps. It's one big step that Jesus has already taken for them when he went to the cross, and they just have to reciprocate that love. But I am here to tell you, it's not that no one wants to be restored. It is when people find out the price that they have to pay for restoration, nobody wants to walk that road. But we here at Living Way, we are a different breed. We are a different kind of believer. Why? Because this is not a Sunday expression. This is an everyday thing. This is an everyday I wake up talking to God, go to sleep talking to God. When I'm up talking to friends, I'm talking about God. I'm leaning into him when I need something. I'm loving on him when I don't need something. This is a lifestyle. Real restoration costs something. What does restoration take? Very quickly, these are just five off the top of my head and in my spirit. Restoration takes time. Time is sometimes the biggest enemy of faith. And we here in the Western church, we have preached favor and blessing so dramatically. And I believe that God can do it right here, right now, today in this altar. But do you have enough faith in the process and in the processor that if it takes till July of 2023, your faith is not going to waver? You're still going to be in here worshiping, serving, and living for God. Time is what it takes. An investment. You know, there's some things in restoration you and I are going to have to give up before we can receive something new. You're going to have to let go of some things to embrace the new things that God is wanting to do in your life. It's going to take sacrifice. Man, that's a word. Sacrifice. Are you willing to plant the seeds of sacrifice to set yourself up for the greatest harvest? I forgot who said it, and that's when I know it's God, because it doesn't matter who said it. I just remember the powerful thing that I heard over 20 years ago, that if whatever you're holding in your hand or you have in your life, if it's not enough, then it's a seed. And I promise you, if what you are facing today, you don't have enough, it's a seed. Let that thing go and watch God use that thing as a seed to bring the greatest turnaround and harvest in your life. Restoration takes seasons of stretching. I preached an entire sermon series a few years ago on stretching before I got into series, and I might have to repackage and bring that back, because there is serious benefits of being stretched physically. Your circulation, your blood flow, it helps healing. There's a lot of things that stretching does, and a lot of us don't like to stretch because of how it feels. You know, chances are a year ago, if I had stretched properly, I probably would not have torn my Achilles tendon. There's a lot of things we go through, but because we do not want to be stretched, we are going through pain that we would not have to go through if we would just say, God, I'm fine with you stretching me, because get this, I know that when you stretch me, you're not going to break me, but when you stretch me, you are actually making me stronger, not for just now, but for the season that I'm getting ready to go through and the restoration that it's going to take to get me to where you've called me to be. Can I encourage you? God is not stretching you to break you. God is not treating you like a rubber band, seeing how far he can get before your breaking point. God knows your breaking point. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 2 through all the way through 13 and 14 talks about God knows your level of temptation. He will never push you past that brink, meaning this, that if you are being stretched and God is the one stretching you, he knows your breaking point and will never bring you to that place, but he will stretch you to the place where you feel uncomfortable. And that's the next season, is the season of being uncomfortable. Ladies that have been pregnant, you've been uncomfortable. You get to that 7th, 8th, and 9th month, you're very uncomfortable. You're going through a season where you can't sleep. You're going through seasons where the organs in your body are in places where they used to not be, and it's changed the way you walk. It's changed the way that you live. But that season of being uncomfortable, you are literally going to give birth to something that will make everything you went through in that season worth it. I remember when Pastor Mandy got through with her tenure in youth ministry from 2004 to 2016, 13 years. I remember at the end, she wrote a really nice post on Facebook about it. And at the end of that post, and this has ministered to me many times since 2016, she said, when people ask me all the Saturday nights, all the time away from your small kids, she put hashtag worth it. Can I encourage you, if you stay on the potter's wheel and you let Jesus have access to your life, at the end of the process, you're not going to say it was a waste of time. You're not going to say all that hurting didn't matter. What you're going to be able to say is, at the end of the process of restoration, you're going to be standing there restored, and you're going to be able to say, hashtag worth it. I would do it all again if I could have the same result that I have now. The name of the previous list of requirements: time, investment, sacrifice, seasons of stretching, seasons of being uncomfortable. All of that list is not exciting. It is difficult to generate enthusiasm about restoration costs. Isn't it amazing that if we start talking about all the benefits of God, we could shout about it, we could run the aisles about it, but when we start talking about sacrifice, everybody gets quiet. When we talk about being uncomfortable, everyone gets quiet. Why? Again, because we've been raised in churches that have preached only the good things about the process, but not about the stretching and the uncomfortable. But we need to focus on restoration's cost. Why? Because when we look at what restoration costs, we can look beyond that to the restore and have an expectation of what restoration will produce in our life. And remember, when God restores you, He's not trying to just get your stuff back to you. He is trying to make you what He has called you and I to be. So this is what you say to your naysayers: don't judge me by my beginning. Don't judge me by my middle. You caught me in chapter 7. There's still a lot of chapters of my life. You caught me in volume 2. There's volume 10 that still has yet to be read. Don't judge me by how I started. Don't judge me how it looks today. Stay tuned. Why? Because I'm putting myself on the wheel and I'm letting God restore me. Jeremiah 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The first word, church, that God gave to Jeremiah was a word of direction. Nothing more, nothing less. The first thing God will always give you is the direction you need to go on the road to restoration. Some of us want every scene of our lives planned out and shown to us before we take a step. But let me tell you, if that happens, there is no faith required. Every moment of your life, faith has to be used. And a lot of times God says, get up and go. God says, head north. Doesn't tell us how far. Doesn't tell us how long. He just said, I'm going to give you direction. Why? Because if you can't stand up and start walking, why would I tell you everything else? So many people are on the right road, but they're going the wrong direction. Not 30, 40 yards from here, Interstate 35 is behind me and in front of you. Interstate 35 goes all the way from South America all the way to Canada. If I were to tell you to go to Laredo, Texas, you could be there in 2 hours by heading south on 35. But if you got on 35 and you started going north, you could drive 24 hours and be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You could be on the right road and you could be 26 hours away from your destination, not because you weren't on the right road, but because you were going the wrong direction. Can I encourage somebody today? You're in the right church, but being in the right church is only half of it. Being in the right church, you serve the right God. That's awesome that you know who Jesus is, but now we've got to get you going the right direction. I told somebody this week, week, it's all about arrows, and that's something that my dad, that bishop, taught me. He said, it doesn't matter where people are. He said, what matters is the direction of their arrow. I'd rather have somebody in a crack house with their arrow pointing up than sitting on the third row at Living Way with their arrow pointing down. I'd rather you be on the comeback trail than on the backsliding binge. I'd rather, come on, somebody. I need you to get on the road to restoration today. I need you to take the next 5 months and say, God, no matter who it takes me from, no matter who it puts me with, no matter what it costs me, I'm willing to be uncomfortable, but God, I need you to restore me. There's some things I lost the way. I lost some of who I was along the way, but God, I'm giving you permission to put me back on that wheel, and I want to get on the road to restoration, but God, point me the direction that I need to go. Somebody say direction. Tell them it matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. So many people on the right road but the wrong direction. Many times we don't receive the message that God has for us because we disobeyed the first word. Go down to the potter's house. Well, I can hear you right here, God. I just heard that, God. You can talk to me right here. Why do I have to get up from my chair? Why do I have to walk all the way across town? I know that potter. He don't like me. I don't like him. We've got beef. We've got past. Just talk to me right here. The problem is God didn't tell you right there. God said, I need you to go there. Why? Because I'm not just telling you something. I need to show you something. Everything that God tells you is designed to move you to a place where he shows you. And he said, Jeremiah, you've gotten really good at hearing me, but I need to show you. And any teacher knows that there are some people that can learn and be educated by teaching, but there's some of us, you got to show us. You can't tell me how to tie my shoe. You had to show me how to tie my shoe. You couldn't tell me how to change a tire. Dad, you had to show me how to change the tire. Why? Because when you show me, there is an illustration, and it is a proven fact that when you see it, and it's not just in your ear, but when you see it, it makes a bigger impact, and you are more likely to remember it. And so he said, Jeremiah, I need to make you uncomfortable. I need you to get out of the place you know, and I'm going to take you to a place where, yes, you will still hear me, but I'm going to show you something that is going to change your life. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. Go down to the potter's house. I've never thought about this until this series. I'm sure there was more than one potter in that town. He didn't tell them which potter. He just said, the potter. The article, the, transformed this verse. He says, there's a lot of places you could go. But the potter's house, there's only one the potter's house. That's why Jesus didn't say, I'm a way, a truth, a life. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the door, he said. I am the bread of life. McDonald's and Ruth Chris both serve beef. Actually, McDonald's, that might be debatable. But they say McDonald's and Ruth Chris both serve beef, but they're not the same. One does it a whole lot better. Taco Bell and Papacitas both serve tacos. That's debatable too. But they are not the same. One does it way better. Six Flags, Fiesta Texas, and Disney World both have roller coasters. But they are not the same. One does it a whole lot better. Living Way Church and beep. See, I just censored myself. Both have worship. Both have prayer. Both talk about Jesus. But we are not the same. One does it a whole lot better. So I need to ask you the question, what potter's house have you been going to? You said, God, I showed up at the potter's house, but I didn't hear you and I didn't see nothing. You're in the wrong house. You had the right motivation, but you were going the wrong direction, and you showed up at the wrong place, and God wasn't speaking in that place, and God wasn't showing you something in that place. But when you go to the place, John 14:6, that's when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father, except through me. Jeremiah 18, verse 2, go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. Somebody say there. Somebody say not here, there. There I will give you my message. I don't know where your there is, but you better figure it out. You say, well, I'm at my there. Oh, I'm so glad you're at church today. But this is 90 minutes of your week. This is 1.5 hours out of 168 hours. I am so glad that you came here, but your relationship with Jesus has to be bigger than a building, because I know we call this the house of God, but this is not where Jesus lives. Jesus lives in your life. I know he is omnipresent, but you've got to worship him other places, devote with him other places, commune with him other places. I don't know where your there is, but you better figure it out. The best prayers I've ever prayed have not been in an altar, have not been in a church building. The best prayers I've prayed have been in my truck. The best revelation I've ever received is not at 11 o'clock on Sunday and 7 on Wednesday. The greatest revelation I've received, ironically, is between 12 a.m. and 4 a.m. when God wakes me out of sleep and says, hey, I need you to get up, go to your office. There, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you something that's going to change your life. Your there changes everything. So I went to the potter's house. And I saw him working at the wheel. We see obedience in action. Jeremiah goes there to the potter's house. He looks at the potter. He is now standing in the potter's house. And I don't know if he's looking over his shoulder, if he's standing in front of him. But he sees that the potter is working at the wheel. The potter is spinning the wheel. Maybe you feel like your life is spinning out of control, church, but I've got good news for you. Maybe it's not spinning out of control. Maybe it's spinning into shape. But you've mistaken that you're dizzy because it's spinning out of control. You're not used to being on the wheel. You're going to get dizzy no matter which way you're spinning. But sometimes you're not spinning out of control. Sometimes you're spinning into shape. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when I leave these services, sometimes when God's Spirit, His Shekinah glory, fills this room and I walk back to my office, it feels like I've run a marathon. It feels I'm winded. I'm tired. I'm physically and spiritually fatigued by what God has done. Why? Because I'm not used to spinning on a wheel like that. But I've come to encourage somebody on the road to restoration. You are not out of control. You are in the hand of God. You are on God's will. And as long as He is controlling the spinning, you are not out of control, because He does everything in decency and in order. He is spinning your life into shape and what it should be. Spinning is not the issue, church. Who is working the wheel is the question. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible is Luke chapter 22, when Jesus says, Simon, Simon, he said, I want you to be careful. The enemy wants to sift you as wheat, but I'm praying for you that when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren. I'm praying that your faith would not fail. Not just praying for him, I'm praying for your faith, because I know if your faith works, everything else is going to work. Your faith established in the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. This is the thing, and I preached this many, many years ago. We are all sifted. Sifting is when there's literally a basket and they're shaking what is good or what is bad out of what is good. When the enemy holds the basket, he is sifting every good thing out of you and leaving everything bad in you. But when God holds the basket and he's shaking us, every bad thing falls out and he leaves us with the good. That's what we call purging us. That's what we call the refiner's fire. And so it's not a matter of the spinning. I need to know who's in control of your will. Whose house have you gone to? Whose voice are you listening to? Who are you watching? Because there is a God that is going to make you uncomfortable when he puts you on the wheel. But I promise you, you're going to love the end result after God gets through spinning. Praise team, if you'll come. Verse 4, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. The pot on the wheel was messed up. But I love this, church, because this is my testimony even now, July 24th, 2022. The pot was messed up, but it was messed up in the hands of the potter. I'm going to be messed up. You're going to mess up. There's going to come times when you've got broken places, broken pieces in your life. There's some times where you're going to be marred. You're going to be messed up. You're going to be scuffed up. But I am here to tell you, I don't mind when I'm like that as long as I am in the potter's hand. And I'm here to tell you, as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, no matter what you are going through today, believer, no matter what you are going through today, church, if God has his hand under you and you are in the palm of God, you can be messed up, but you are in the right place. You are serving the right God. If I'm going to be marred and messed up, I want it to be messed up in the hand of God. If I'm going to be broken into a million pieces, I want to be broken in the hands of God. Verse 4 goes on to say, so the potter formed it into another pot. So the potter formed the messed up into another pot. Has anyone ever told you, maybe somebody from high school, maybe somebody that you used to club with, drink with, smoke with, do a lot of crazy things with, have they ever been around the new you and they say, you're different? Have you ever been around somebody that actually, it's a physical thing, they said, you even look different? You didn't know this, but they were testifying of restoration. Because the Bible says the potter looked at that pot, didn't cast it aside, but he made another pot, a new pot, out of the old pot. So when somebody says, you're different, you don't look the same, what they're really saying is I don't recognize the you that I see before me and the you that you used to be. And see, there's a testimony there, because only one that can change that is the potter, and his name is Jesus. The next time somebody says you look different, you ought to stop right there, whether you say it verbally or spiritually. Thank you, Jesus, for changing me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. The potter created something new by using what was once old.